Imagine walking right down the middle of Main Street in Disneyland. You know, you're heading straight toward Cinderella's castle, eating a churro, and suddenly a giant neon blue battle bus flies overhead.
Right, and just deploys 100 teenagers in banana suits right onto the teacups.
Exactly. I mean, it is a genuinely surreal mental image, right? But it perfectly captures this structural collision that we are examining today.
Yeah, because we are looking at two radically different ecosystems. You have legacy Hollywood and modern interactive media, and they are kind of being forced into the exact same orbit.
Because right now, one of the biggest rumors shaking the entire entertainment world is that Disney, you know, this nearly century-old legacy media titan, is secretly plotting to fully acquire Epic Games.
Right, the creators of Fortnite and the Unreal Engine.
Right. And for anyone tracking this space, you know, Epic is an absolute powerhouse. So we've gathered a massive stack of financial reports, industry analyses, and tech journalism to decode what would just be a tectonic shift in the media landscape.
It really would change everything about how we interact with entertainment.
Completely. And the mission for this deep dive is to understand why a traditional entertainment giant wants to buy a gaming company for tens of billions of dollars. And, you know, what it means for the future of how you consume media.
Yeah, because the lines are blurring so fast.
Oh, absolutely. If you've ever spent a weekend binging a new series on Disney Plus or dropping into a Fortnite match with your friends, your digital world is about to fundamentally change. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
To understand why a total buyout is even on the table, we actually have to start by looking at Epic Games' own vulnerabilities. Like, we need to move past the glossy rumor and look at the harsh financial reality Epic is currently facing.
Yeah, and the underlying numbers in our stack paint a very clear picture of a company that's kind of hitting a ceiling.
How so?
Well, during the peak of pandemic-era gaming, like back in 2022, Epic Games achieved a valuation of $31.5 billion.
Okay, that's massive.
It is. But fast forward to 2024, and that valuation contracted to $22.5 billion.
Wow. So they lost almost a third of their value.
Exactly. We are looking at a 29% decline in enterprise value over a really short window. And I mean, that kind of contraction forces structural changes inside any company, regardless of how fiercely independent they claim to be.
And that drop is staggering, especially when you consider the history of Tim Sweeney, the founder and CEO of Epic.
Right. He's basically an industry legend at this point.
Yeah, he started the company way back in 1991. He built his first game. It was a text-based adventure called ZZT, entirely by himself while his dad handled the mail orders out of their house.
Oh, wow. I didn't actually know the mail order part. That's incredible.
Yeah. And Sweeney has spent decades fiercely championing developer independence. I mean, he notoriously hates corporate monopolies. But financial gravity always wins, you know.
It always does.
In 2023, he was forced to lay off 830 employees, and he openly admitted they were spending far more money than they earned.
Right, which is just a brutal reality check.
And it gets worse, because moving into 2026, the sources point to reports of over 1,000 additional layoffs. And Sweeney himself has pointed to the core issue driving this, which is declining Fortnite engagement.
Which really highlights a structural vulnerability in their whole business model.
Yeah, because Fortnite's revenue model relies entirely on microtransactions, right?
Completely. Just skins, V-Bucks, that sort of thing.
It's like throwing a massive, ongoing stadium concert where admission is totally free, but the venue only survives if you buy a $20 t-shirt on your way out.
That is a great way to put it.
Right. Like if people just come for the music and stop buying the merchandise, the venue goes bankrupt.
And the pressure on that merchandising model is just immense right now. I mean, the battle royale genre is completely saturated.
Oh, for sure.
You've got titles like Call of Duty Warzone, Apex Legends, PUBG Mobile, and they have all systematically chipped away at Fortnite's market dominance. The pie isn't really getting much bigger, you know? The slices are just being fiercely contested.
But wait, I have to push back here. Our sources indicate Fortnite still maintains over 100 million monthly active players.
They do, yeah.
So how can a company be struggling with engagement when they have the population of a medium-sized country logging into their servers every single month?
Well, the discrepancy really comes down to the mechanics of wallet share versus raw player count.
Okay, unpack that for me.
So having 100 million people log in is a phenomenal metric for a press release, right? But investors value ARPU, average revenue per user.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. In a hyper-competitive environment, players spread their disposable income a lot thinner. A dedicated user might have previously purchased, say, 3 cosmetic items a month inside Fortnite.
Right, spending $60 or whatever.
Exactly. But now that same user might split their time with Call of Duty, so maybe they buy 1 item in Fortnite and 2 in Warzone.
Oh, I see.
So Fortnite's server load remains identical because that user's still logged in, but their actual revenue from that specific user just plummeted by 66%.
Wow, and servers aren't cheap.
Not at all. The economic model of a free-to-play live service game requires a constant high-volume conversion rate of attention into spending. When that conversion drops, the massive overhead of running global servers and constantly updating content just becomes completely unsustainable.
And right as that mathematical reality sets in for Epic, Disney steps into the frame.
Right on cue.
Right. So in February 2024, Bob Iger announced a $1.5 billion investment in Epic, taking roughly a 9% stake.
Which is a huge chunk of change.
It is. And now, according to multiple credible sources in our stack, senior Disney executives are meticulously mapping out the timeline to acquire the remaining 91%.
The whole pie.
Yeah. But if Epic is struggling to squeeze reliable revenue out of its massive audience, why would Disney consider dropping upwards of $25 to $30 billion to buy them out?
Well, the motivation becomes obvious when you invert the problem.
Okay.
Epic has a monetization issue, right? Disney has an existential demographic issue.
Well, the aging audience.
Exactly. Disney possesses vast capital and just legendary intellectual property, but they are systematically losing the attention of the next generation. I mean, the demographic data in the industry analyses we looked at is stark.
Yeah, those numbers blew my mind.
The average Disney Plus viewer is 35 years old. The average Fortnite player is 18 to 24. Disney is facing a future where their core audience simply ages out of their entire ecosystem.
And the engagement gap between those two platforms is almost hard to comprehend. The average Disney Plus user watches about 8 hours of content per month.
Per month.
Right. Well, the average Fortnite player spends 6 to 10 hours per week.
It's just a completely different level of immersion.
It is. Kevin Mayer, a former top Disney executive, bluntly stated the new industry reality in our sources. He said, while content is king, engagement is emperor.
That is such a fascinating distinction.
I love that phrase, engagement is emperor, because it perfectly highlights the shift in how media is consumed today. Modern streaming platforms, as high quality as they are, function a bit like sitting in solitary confinement with a beautiful IMAX screen.
Right, you're just sitting there in the dark.
Exactly. You are entirely alone, passively receiving a broadcast. Fortnite, on the other hand, is the 21st century equivalent of the 1980s suburban shopping mall.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's the primary space where friends actually go to hang out, communicate, and just exist together. Mayer pointed out that Fortnite isn't just a game, it is a global social platform.
And that social infrastructure is precisely what Disney lacks. They have no mechanism for persistent digital identity.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when you finish a Marvel movie on Disney Plus, the experience just ends. You close the app.
Right. You just go back to your normal life.
Exactly. But imagine a scenario where you watch a premiering Marvel film in a virtual theater alongside your friends' digital avatars. And the moment the credits roll, you seamlessly transition into a Marvel-themed cooperative mission.
Oh, wow. That sounds incredible.
Disney requires that persistent social layer to keep users trapped inside their ecosystem rather than losing them to TikTok or YouTube the second a movie ends.
But I have to challenge this premise based on Disney's own track record.
Okay, let's hear it.
They already tried to build a metaverse. Back in 2021, they enthusiastically created a whole division for interactive digital worlds, and it spectacularly failed.
It was a pretty massive flop, yeah.
Right, and the sources point to the broader collapse of platforms like Meta's Horizon Worlds during that same era. So why would Disney throw tens of billions of dollars at a concept that literally blew up in their face just a few years ago?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the 2021 metaverse collapse taught legacy media a critical lesson about network effects. You cannot build a digital world from scratch, populate it with intellectual property, and just expect millions of people to materialize.
Ah, right.
It is the ultimate field of dreams fallacy. Building the virtual architecture is the easy part. Acquiring the community is nearly impossible. Disney learned that to survive the transition from passive viewing to active participation, they have to purchase a pre-populated network.
Oh, I see. They are buying the citizens, not just the city.
Exactly. They need the people who already live there.
Which brings us to the underlying technology, because Disney isn't just trying to buy a digital shopping mall for teenagers. They are trying to buy the construction company that builds the entire digital world.
Yes, this is the big one.
We're talking about Epic's ultimate strategic asset, Unreal Engine.
Unreal Engine is basically the foundational architecture of the modern interactive economy. It's the rendering engine that currently powers over 50% of AAA video games globally.
Over 50%. That is a wild monopoly on just the tech itself.
It is. And the downstream revenue of products built on this specific platform exceeds $20 billion annually.
Wow.
But limiting the discussion of Unreal Engine to video games completely misses why Disney really wants it.
Right, because it is completely revolutionizing Hollywood film production.
Oh, fundamentally changing it.
Disney already relies heavily on Unreal Engine for a technique called virtual production, which they famously utilized on The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that was a huge breakthrough for the industry.
And for you listening, if you haven't seen behind the scenes of these shows, it's wild. Instead of building massive, expensive physical sets or, you know, flying a crew of 200 people to a desert in Jordan, they shoot the actors inside a massive room made entirely of high-definition LED screens.
It literally looks like a holodeck from Star Trek.
It does. And those screens display photorealistic 3D environments that are powered and rendered in real time by Unreal Engine. If the camera moves left, the digital background instantly shifts its perspective to match, exactly like a video game adjusting to your character's movement.
And the economics of that technology are just staggering. Industry reports indicate virtual production can cut overarching production costs by up to 30%.
30%. That is massive for a studio.
It is. It eliminates location permits, travel logistics, and vastly reduces post-production visual effects timelines. For a media conglomerate like Disney, which spends tens of billions of dollars annually manufacturing content, a 30% reduction in production costs fundamentally alters their balance sheet.
But right now, they have to pay Epic for that privilege.
Exactly. Under the current arrangement, Disney must pay hefty licensing fees to Epic to utilize that engine.
So buying Epic is like Disney buying the camera manufacturer instead of endlessly renting the cameras for every single movie they make.
That's a perfect analogy, yeah.
Plus, they get to control the underlying physics engine of whatever the spatial internet eventually becomes. Analyst Matthew Ball argued in The Sources that acquiring Epic is the only logical path for Disney to remain competitive in the next decade.
And he's highly respected in this space.
He is. But that makes me wonder, if Unreal Engine is so profitable and the synergy is so obvious, why is the broader tech and gaming industry absolutely terrified of this deal actually happening?
Well, the anxiety stems from how fundamentally different Epic's business model is from traditional corporate monetization.
How so?
Tim Sweeney built an ecosystem predicated on developer goodwill. Currently, Unreal Engine is completely free for any developer to use.
Wait, free? Completely?
Completely free. Epic doesn't collect a single cent until a game crosses $1 million in gross revenue. And even then, they only take a modest 5% royalty.
Oh, wow. So it's incredibly indie-friendly.
Extremely. That structure eliminates the initial financial barrier to entry for independent studios. The fear is that a corporate behemoth, you know, driven by quarterly earnings reports, will look at that structure and immediately identify it as an inefficiency.
Right, they'll want to squeeze it.
Exactly. The industry assumes Disney would implement upfront licensing fees or drastically increase royalties to accelerate their return on investment.
And that dread extends to the distribution side with the Epic Games Store, too. Journalist Jason Schreier warned that Disney might just shut down the Epic Games Store entirely if they view it as an unprofitable division.
Which would be a huge blow to PC gaming.
Massive. Because the mechanics of that store are a massive disruptor in the industry. The established monopoly, Valve's Steam platform, takes a 30% cut of all game sales. Epic launched their store offering developers a 12% revenue split.
And 12% barely keeps the lights on.
Right. That 12% basically just covers payment, processing, and server costs. Epic essentially runs it as a massive loss leader to break Steam's monopoly, and they give away millions of dollars in free games to attract their 230 million registered users.
It's a very aggressive, very expensive strategy.
And developers are panicking because Disney is famously protective of its profit margins.
What?
They do not run multi-billion dollar loss leaders just for the sake of industry competition.
And they certainly do not.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We are talking about a profoundly volatile culture clash. Analyst John Ricciatiello points this out perfectly in The Sources.
Yeah, this is a huge sticking point.
You have Disney, a 100-year-old legacy corporation built on endless layers of management, brand protection, and legal reviews. And on the other side, you have Epic, a 30-year-old agile tech company that iterates rapidly, embraces open source concepts, and practically thrives on chaos.
It really is two completely different worlds.
It's like a corporate suit trying to run an underground punk rock club. Like, is it even structurally possible for a legacy media company to absorb a tech company without crushing the soul of it?
As analyst Michael Paxter worried about, yeah.
All right, if you look at the historical graveyard of these mergers, the mechanics rarely work. Look at Microsoft. They bought Nokia's mobile division, couldn't integrate the culture, and had to write off almost the entire $7.6 billion.
Just a total disaster.
Or Yahoo. They bought Tumblr for over $1 billion, completely alienated the core user base, and eventually sold it for pennies.
Yeah, and the integration risk is arguably the highest hurdle here. Because when you acquire a tech company, the true asset isn't the existing code. I mean, code depreciates rapidly.
So what are they actually buying?
The asset is the human capital. It's the engineers constantly updating Unreal Engine and the designers driving Fortnite's cultural relevance. If you overlay a rigid corporate bureaucracy onto those teams, the talent simply leaves.
But couldn't they just pay them to stay?
Well, a traditional solution would be retention bonuses, you know, locking them in with stock options. But many of Epic's foundational employees are already extraordinarily wealthy from the company's private valuation peaks.
Oh, right. The golden handcuffs don't work if they're already rich.
Exactly. They remain at Epic because of its specific culture. If you alter the culture, the talent walks out the door, and Disney is left holding a very expensive, empty shell.
Okay, let's say they manage to thread that needle. Tim Sweeney cashes out. Disney promises to build a firewall around the engineering teams to protect the culture.
A big hypothetical, but okay.
Right. They still have to defeat what the industry sources are calling the final bosses of this deal. We're talking global geopolitics, massive corporate debt, and aggressive antitrust regulator.
Oh, yeah. The regulatory nightmare is just beginning.
Let's start with the geopolitical landmine. Tencent.
Right. So Tencent is one of the largest technology conglomerates in China, and they currently own a 40% stake in Epic Games.
40%?
Yeah, which they purchased back in 2012 for a mere $330 million.
Talk about a good investment.
Unbelievable return. But the regulatory mechanics here are incredibly complex. Any full acquisition by Disney would trigger a review by CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States.
And they don't mess around.
No, especially given the current geopolitical climate and concerns over data privacy. CFIUS evaluates foreign ownership of companies that hold the personal data of millions of American citizens. The regulatory consensus is that CFIUS would almost certainly require Tencent to fully divest its 40% stake before allowing an American legacy institution like Disney to complete a buyout.
And Tencent knows exactly how desperate Disney would be in that scenario. They hold immense leverage. I mean, they could demand an astronomical premium to exit their position.
He absolutely would.
But even setting the Tencent complication aside, we have to look at the sheer financial mechanics of how Disney pays for this. According to the financial reports in our stack, Disney is already carrying roughly $45 billion in debt going into 2026.
That is a staggering amount of leverage.
It is. If they try to finance another $25 to $30 billion to swallow Epic Games, Wall Street will panic. Yeah. You're looking at the very real threat of severe credit downgrades, making their existing debt vastly more expensive to service.
And the financial structuring goes far beyond just the headline purchase price. A deal of this magnitude involves really complex earn-out provisions.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning key stakeholders, including Tim Sweeney, would likely demand billions in deferred compensation tied to future revenue targets. Plus, you know, those retention packages for the engineering teams we talked about. Disney would be heavily leveraging its future just to get the keys to the building.
And then we have the regulatory gauntlet. We have the FTC in the United States, currently led by Lina Khan, alongside European Union regulators who are aggressively scrutinizing tech monopolies.
And they have been very active lately.
Very. The sources highlight that the FTC is no longer just looking at horizontal monopolies, like two competing game studios merging. They are heavily scrutinizing vertical integration.
Which this absolutely is.
Right. If Disney owns Unreal Engine, regulators will question whether Disney might degrade the engine's performance for competing film studios like Warner Bros. Or, you know, prioritize Disney IP on the Epic Games Store.
It's a massive conflict of interest on paper.
The discovery phase and litigation for a deal like this could easily take 12 to 18 months, just draining resources. And it could still be completely blocked by a federal judge.
It's
huge gamble.
So Disney has to successfully negotiate a buyout with a Chinese tech giant, appease the U.S. government's national security apparatus, survive European antitrust scrutiny, and pacify their own heavily leveraged shareholders.
When you list it out like that, it sounds impossible.
Right. It sounds less like a strategic business maneuver and more like navigating a geopolitical minefield. So if CFI US forces an impossible price or the FTC successfully blocks the acquisition, does Disney have a functional plan B, or is it epic or bust?
Well, there are contingency paths, though none offer the comprehensive infrastructure of Unreal Engine.
What are the options?
The industry analyses suggest Disney could pivot toward acquiring Electronic Arts, or EA. The EA controls massive franchises with really deep social graphs, notably Apex Legends and The Sims.
Ah, The Sims makes a lot of sense for a social layer.
Exactly, which solves the demographic engagement problem. Alternatively, they could target Take-Two Interactive, the publisher of Grand Theft Auto.
Disney owning GTA. That sounds problematic.
Yeah, both of those options carry their own severe cultural and brand safety risks, particularly the R-rated nature of Grand Theft Auto. I mean, Mickey Mouse and GTA don't exactly mix.
Not at all.
The final and perhaps most punishing alternative is attempting to build an internal development studio from scratch. But that's a strategy that is incredibly capital intensive, painfully slow, and just historically disastrous for legacy film studios.
So when we pull back and look at this entire mountain of evidence, the collapsing valuations of standalone tech companies, the sheer desperation for Gen Z engagement, the complex regulatory nightmares, what is the big takeaway for you, the listener, trying to understand where this is all heading?
The undeniable conclusion from all of this is that the historical boundaries separating passive film production, interactive gaming, and social media are just completely dissolving.
They're vanishing.
Completely. As we approach 2027, the media landscape is undergoing a structural realignment. Legacy institutions like Disney, Netflix, and Warner Bros. Recognize that producing high-fidelity linear content is no longer sufficient to retain a subscriber base.
Right, because engagement is emperor.
Exactly. They must integrate persistent, interactive social experiences into their core product, or they will be marginalized by platforms that do. The mere fact that a Disney epic acquisition of this scale is even being wargamed in boardrooms proves that interactive digital environments are no longer an adjacent revenue stream. They are the foundational architecture of future entertainment.
It really is adapt or age into irrelevance.
Oh.
And as we wrap up, there was one final concept from the research that completely reframes how this transition will actually look for you, the consumer.
Yeah, this part is fascinating.
The sources dug into the mechanics of the creator economy. They highlighted that over on Roblox, independent creators generated $600 million in payouts in 2023 alone.
That's life-changing money.
And over on Fortnite, everyday users are building custom game modes and pulling in six-figure incomes.
Which presents a truly fascinating shift in the mechanics of storytelling.
How so?
If Disney actually executes this buyout, they gain the ability to open their untouchable vault of intellectual property, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar. Imagine them allowing everyday creators to build, publish, and monetize their own games using official Disney assets directly inside the Unreal Engine ecosystem.
Wow. That's massive.
It completely democratizes the creation process. Think about it. The next era-defining Star Wars story might not be directed by a traditional Hollywood filmmaker operating on a $200 million budget.
Right.
It might be developed by a 19-year-old modder utilizing professional-grade tools from their bedroom, funded entirely by microtransactions within a social hub. It transfers the power of world-building from the legacy studio executives directly to the digital citizens.
So next time you picture that giant neon blue battle bus flying over Cinderella's castle, remember?
Mm.
It might not be a crash. It might be a hostile takeover of how stories are told. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we'll see you next time as we continue to track the converging worlds of tech and entertainment.